everyone. So just like Hung mentioned earlier, we're going through a series called What Would Jesus Do in the 21st Century? Last week we talked about feminism. This week, in honor of Veterans Day, we wanted to talk about war and kind of provide us perspective about how Christians should talk about war. And we thought that a good person to ask about that is JP, John Pierre. He's been in our church, or he's been with our church. He's been coming back and forth just because of work and things like that. But he's been here since 2008. And we just wanted to say thank you to all the people who have protected our country and who serve so bravely. So in honor of Veterans Day, we wanted to invite JP to come up and share his story.
Hello. Happy Sabbath. I feel good. First off, thank you, Simon, and anyone else I've missed for your service prior to or currently. If you served in the military, any branch, or affiliated with the military at all, thank you. For myself, all right. Before I continue, I want to start off with the word. So before we read the word, let's ask God for some guidance. Please bow your heads. Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you so much that we're here united all in one house as family, friends. We're all together, brothers and sisters, right now, Father God. Thank you so much that we have this Veterans Day weekend to remind us of what's happening now around the world, Lord. And we ask you to please bring peace to all veterans, past, present, future, that have gone through pain, going through pain, Lord Jesus. And to all those who have some fear because we've lived through some kind of war at some point in our life. We've all been affected by it some way, somehow. Lord, I ask you, please open our minds at this time and our hearts that we may receive this message from you. Thank you so much. You know me, pray, Father God. Amen. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, please, we're going to use the Bibles. We're going to use the Word. If you have your phones, that's cool. iPads, that's cool too. Whatever you got. Let's get into the word. So Matthew 24, that should be 6:24. Okay. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Is that Matthew 24:6 or 6:24? 24:6? Okay, good. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So may this set the theme to what we're going to be talking about at this time. So, wars. We've had many of them since the beginning of time up to now. We've had World War I, II, Korean War, and I'm pretty sure most of us here have been affected by Vietnam War, correct? Through all the troubles that's caused us. Gulf War, Iraq War, and there's many wars and things that have happened in between. In between those times, there's been many wars from the Iran-Iraq wars to other skirmishes in between. There's just so much that people don't even talk about that's not even in the news. So why am I here? Why am I talking about this? Let's talk about my background. So April 4th, 2006, I joined the Navy. That's the day that I went into the boot camp in Chicago, Illinois. Well, North Chicago. So after basic training, I spent about 1.5, 1.7 years learning basic electronics, learning about everything, how electronics works, to computers and other complex things in between. So finally, after all that time studying and learning, being a student in the Navy, finally go to a ship in 2007. 2007, I hit my first ship in San Diego, California. That is the USS Cape St. George. It's a big warship full of weapons, missiles, torpedoes, everything you could think of. It's a big, giant death machine. What else is my experience? So with that first ship, I did three deployments. First deployment was to Iraq, the Iraq area, so the Arabian Gulf. I did a whole tour around there, visited many countries on my way there, visited Malaysia, visited Thailand, I visited Australia, and I spent many months in that Middle East region. Saw a lot of intense moments at that time and a little scary moments. But then number two deployment happened. Did the same thing again. Went to the Middle East region. Saw a lot of crazy things happen over there. Then number three was one of the craziest ones. It was supposed to be a six-month deployment. Turned into be a 7.5-month deployment. No, sorry. 9.5-month deployment. So that's most of my year gone being in the ocean. And so I went from working on electronics. I was like pretty much something like this. Anybody know what this is? You guys know Best Buy, you guys know Geek Squad. So you have a problem with your computer, you have a problem with your electronics, you go to Geek Squad. So I was the Geek Squad guy on the ship. Hey, we have a problem with our computer, we have a problem with this. Okay, got it. Except I'm the Geek Squad guy for the weapons and the missiles and all that. And I did many, many years of that. And some of those intense moments I talked about being on deployment was doing Geek Squad things to get weapons ready to go in case bad guys try to hurt us. And that was me. You can see I have a little, I can't see the laser, but I got a little gun right there on my side. I had another gun. I put this picture up because at this time I had a different mentality, a different way of thinking. I thought, me doing that, I'm doing my job. I'm defending freedom. That's me, being a patriotic guy. And there she is, that beautiful gray piece of steel, my first ship. You might see me. I think I'm that guy. Somewhere over there. But like, as you can see, you got a big gun in the front. You got a bunch of little random objects everywhere. Those are all electronics and radars and communication systems for the ship to cause damage and hurt to people. So my career started progressing, expanding, and going to many different places from here on. So to give everybody an example of what I am, what I've been through, and everything. Let's take a look at my progression. So the bottom is what the Marine Corps ranks look like, and then the top is the Navy ranks. It's just to show you like the equivalency and like what I did. So I started off obviously from the bottom, so E1, and then I went to E2, E3, and then you started getting those little red marks, the little slashes. So the red marks, the chevrons. E4, E5 is just like being a sergeant in the Army or the Marines. So if you can read, it says sergeant right there. I was the E5 for a very long time. And then eventually I made E6 unexpectedly. I didn't think I'd make it in such a short amount of time, which was about 6 years, which most people take them about 10 years. Not that I deserved it. It just happened. And the most unique thing about the Navy is when you see that E7. You guys see the E7? Yeah? Okay, the E7 rank, different uniforms. You look, you eat separately from everybody and all that. And almost everybody in the Navy dreams to be that rank, E7 through E8 through E9. And I became E7 also unexpectedly. And I learned a lot became very humble after that point when people told me that I should be more appreciative of this rank that so many people literally cry for when they don't make it. And so that's where I am now, E7 rank, enlisted person. And like I said, it's the different uniform, the brown uniform, not that Cracker Jack black and white uniform. It's this brown thing. And it's also, this is the the black version of the uniform. So there you go, E7. And then I got a bunch of those little awards and ribbon things on here. Not a big deal. They're just for doing time in the Navy. Some people freak out about it and they really enjoy that stuff. I don't really care. So my career went on. You guys know that I went to Virginia for many years to relearn some electronics and stuff. And then 2013 happened and I ended up in Japan land. Japan land was a unique experience. It was awesome. So I did 3 years during that time. I was on another ship. And so while being on that ship, it's called being in Japan on a ship over there is called being forward deployed. That means that it wasn't those 6, 7, 9 months that I was gone out of the year. This was actually, I was always gone. Whenever something happened in the news or something happened with another country, I was gone. Like, we were out there, out to sea, ready to do something. I can't get into details, but we're out there. And some of the jobs they gave me during this time period was very, very difficult. Especially, remember I mentioned that I went through the ranks very fast? So now I'm a young 30-year-old guy doing the work of like people with experience who have been in the military for 20-plus years. And I'm like, whoa, I can't believe they gave me all these responsibilities and things. And that is her. I'll never forget her. That is the USS Mustin, DDG 89. Very similar to that other ship I was on, but it's smaller, about the same size amount of people. You can see it still has the gun. It's got more electronic stuff, lots of missiles, torpedoes, and other weapons. So now, I was no longer, at this time, doing the Geek Squad thing. Since I made the rank so fast, they're like, you're no longer Geek Squad guy. I ended up in here. You guys probably seen all the movies, right? You guys seen, I don't know, every movie has some kind of thing happening like this, right? You always got some random Joe, like, Captain, there's something on the radar. Well, I wasn't that guy. I was the guy, like, in the back telling him what to do. I was like, man, I don't even know what I'm doing, and I'm telling him what to do. I'm just kidding. I got training. But back when I was doing the Geek Squad thing, they would call me a lot to come up here and yell at these people and tell them, hey, stop breaking this keyboard or stop breaking this. I'm tired of coming up here to fix potato chip finger things that are happening up here. They would eat a lot of potato chips and grease up the electronics and then have to fix those things. But as you can see, this is where all the war stuff happens. This is the room and the place. I'm not going to get into the details. All right? Like I should have said at the beginning, disclosure warning, like I'm not going to say anything that's going to get me in trouble. All right. So please don't get me in trouble. And let me know if you're going to put social media. But whatever the case is, this is the place where it all happens. You hear all the things going on. I'll leave it at that. And all the big decisions are being made here. And so from here, I sat in a position where the missile shooting actually happens. Remember the responsibility things? That's pretty scary. Now I'm the guy that's pushing the buttons to do this stuff. What we call this in my field of work is the sound of freedom. Whoosh, whoosh. It doesn't really sound like that, but that's what we call it. Sound of freedom, whoosh, whoosh, out comes the missile. And I'm the guy that pushes the beep. There's actually another guy that does it too, but I can bypass. No, never mind. We're not going to get into that. And so things got scarier with all these responsibilities and things happening around the world at that time. And I was learning about a lot of things that I had learned in church, especially in here, about things revealed to all of our church through our studies that were happening around me. So I'm now that guy I don't know if you guys seen Spaceballs, but Spaceballs guy who doesn't even know what he's doing, got the push the button for missiles, out goes the missile. I'm doing all this. I'm all seeing all these current events around the world. I'm seeing all these things happening. And I'm like, wow, I'm like right in the middle of all this. All this Bible study is actually happening around me. So if you can go to Matthew 6:34. Give you guys a few seconds. And so it says, I'm going to read from the King James Version also. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, here's another version. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own enough trouble of its own. So those words really got through me during all these times of stress and sweating and like worrying about my own safety, the safety of my family and people around me. Because you guys watch CNN, you guys watch the news, and you're like, whoa, that's scary stuff. I'm actually sitting in a place where that stuff might happen to me. Yep, and as you can see throughout my time, things got crazier. And along those things were the threats that we have in the world today. Threats that we don't even know of, or threats that aren't even talked about in the news or nothing like that. Like this guy. Anybody know him? That's my buddy right there. Great looking guy. Anybody know this guy? My other buddy. I'm just kidding. Definitely not my buddies. So you got that guy, that guy. And then I had this thing. Who has ever heard of the South China Sea? Huh? Yeah? Have you guys ever heard of what's happening or been happening in the South China Sea? Only a few people? Okay. This is why I asked the question. Because a lot of people don't really know what's been happening in the South China Sea. South China Sea is a very intense place right now for the past 15 years and more. But more this time frame than any time before. And I'm watching this happen before me. So you got many countries, the People's Republic of China, you have the Philippines, you have Vietnam, you also have countries like Brunei, Indonesia, plus some more. All these countries are claiming that they own this big area, this region called the South China Seas, or islands or areas within it. So for about over 50 years, more or less, very few countries have been going back and forth trying to do their politics to overcome each other or using military force for that. And so this happened about, I think, 4 years ago. I don't know if anyone's heard the 9-line. Is it called the 9-? Because it literally has 9 dashes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So 9-line. What happened here? There's a group called AZN. Is that called Asian group, which is several of these southern countries that you see, Philippines, Brunei, Indonesia, etc. They all get together once in a while and they talk about these islands, these lands. Well, People's Republic of China showed up. Now, before I keep continuing on with this, this is not. I'm not like a conspiracy guy trying to start anything crazy. I'm just speaking what I know of and how it relates to the word as it brings peace to myself and to others, okay? So People's Republic of China claims that they showed up to this meeting that they weren't invited to, and they brought up this 9-line saying that they own all these lands that is nowhere near China. And that started a whole another dispute amongst everybody. Like, wait, what? Where did this map come from? Now, so goes the story that nobody really knows where the map really came from, but they claim that they've had it for over 70 years. So that is the drama happening there. And how many of us were around in Vietnam around 1975? Then you might know about the Parcel Islands dispute and all that happening. There was about 50 members of the Vietnamese military. They were sent to one of these islands being disputed. And they were without weapons, without anything. They went there to just put a flag on there and say that it's ours. And then People's Republic of China ship went and shot the island with cannons. And all those people passed away. And so that's part of this whole dispute going on with them, protesting ever since that, hey, you know, you've done us wrong. You've done the Vietnamese people wrong. You've done everybody else wrong. Please stop. And then same thing with the Philippines. They've had several people pass away due to these skirmishes, these fights happening between everybody. So does everybody now feel more of the intensity of what's happening in this area? A lot of stuff that is not shared with in the news or shared with openly, actually, at all. So a lot of these are some of my accounts that I've witnessed myself. So which brought me to a point in my time in my life, while I was out there operating and doing these things, watching these things happen, should I be worrying? Should I actually be scared? This is a question I ask myself a lot. And then we can read Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. I'll give it ready a few seconds. So Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is something that just popped in my head, and I was like, whoa, this is real. This verse is happening all around me. And as we continue this message, you'll see what I mean, how this verse comes back to me multiple times over and over again. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. This has been happening for thousands of years, that we've had evil powers in power causing pain and suffering to all humanity for thousands of years, from Babylon to Egypt and so on. So one of the most intense moments of my time in my life, the spring of 2015, USS Mustin was sent out 4 months to go out into the ocean to be the U.S. kind of ambassador or whatnot, to kind of keep peace in the South China Seas, to keep these people from fighting and causing more trouble to each other, caught in the middle. What I got involved in was actually my ship got into a lot of very close moments. Remember that the picture of the button for the missile? I spent many, many days hovering over that button with my finger right there. This might be it, is my thought. This is about to happen. And I'm talking about things that happen from not one, not two, three, four, five different countries all around me at the same time, and I might be hurt in the middle. I will not go into more details, but that's part of what happened during this time frame. And a lot of this was a lot of issues with People's Republic of China Navy and U.S. Navy at the time. These very intense, close moments, disputes where I'm hearing this on the communications over and over again, you know, you must depart where you are, you must, U.S. vessel, whatever your name is, get out of here, you're not welcome, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, this is like, these are fighting words. Every day, these are fighting words. So, what happens right after that? Who knows where this is? Does anybody recognize these buildings? Where is it? Hong Kong. Hong Kong, which is a part of China. I've had these intense moments where myself hovering over the button to shoot the missiles. And then a few days later, we're in China. And that thought came to my head again. Ephesians 6:12. There's something going on, and it's not between regular soldiers or sailors or whoever, lower ranking people, or the common people, civilians like you and I. There's things happening way above us, way over our heads, which I wish to never get involved with. That how could you be so close to war, literally war, and then we pull right into this country? So this is the struggle that I had been dealing with for so long. 4 days. It wasn't a fight visit. This was a fun visit. It was a reception, and there was like, hey, welcome. Let's have fun together. And I said, wait, what about last week? Where I thought I was going to die. So what's happening now? So that was 2015. What's happened from way back when until now? We've had all kinds of wars. We've had September 11, which is the war on terrorism, right? Besides September 11, we've had the Syria war. Anybody familiar with what was going on in Syria? Okay. This is what happened in Syria. I'll just be quick so that I don't take up too much time. So in Syria, you pretty much have a civil war happening. You have the president and their people fighting against the people who don't want the president there. So two sides fighting. Now you have the president and his people in Syria are being backed up by which country? If anybody knows. Russia. But the other people against the president are being backed up by which country? The U.S. Which brings me back to Ephesians 6:12. Remember I said we're going to keep going back to these verses? Yes. So, Ephesians 6:12. We're fighting against, not you and I, we're fighting against people in high places, people that sometimes are on TV or sometimes may never be on TV, but they're shaking hands behind closed doors or in front of the TV. I don't know. We will never be able to pinpoint the exact culprits of everything happening in the world. So, which many of those days where I've struggled with this and I thought, who is my Goliath? Who am I fighting against? Some days I'm thinking, is my Goliath that country that I thought it was? Or is it somebody else? Is it an individual? Is it a group of people? Who are we fighting? And I go back to Ephesians 6:12 every single time. For so long, we've been struggling. There's been so many wars and so many things, so many atrocities happen, started by rumors and by things, by voices and whispers, telling one faction to kill the other faction, etc., back and forth. And who is the one suffering in the end? You, me, and all the in-between. Over and over again. So if you have 1 Samuel, you got a few more seconds to get to 1 Samuel. Actually, give me a few seconds too. I got a big, giant Spanish Bible. First Samuel 17, right? Is that right? 17? First Samuel 17. Okay. All right. We're there. First Samuel 17:34. I'm going to go over this real quick. So, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion. This is the peace that gave me, right? This is the where I got my peace from. And a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David, and more so over the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And so with all the wars and all the times I've been scared behind the pushing that button and what's going to happen to me, I thought, where did David get his peace from? He got his peace from this interaction with the Lord, giving him all these things in his life. What did he give him? He gave him that lion. He overcame the lion. He overcame the bear. And with that, he said, I'm going to overcome the Philistine as well. Big giant Philistine, he overcame it. So whatever is the principality or thing that I'm against, I grew peace out of there. I said, I'm not scared anymore. So like I mentioned before, everybody, no matter what war it is, no matter what's happening, someone's going to get hurt. It's always you and I, the in-betweens, that hurt the most, right? And especially right now during this time, during this Veterans Day period, we're giving thanks to all kinds of service members. And we even have, like for me, I feel the pain of this this army brother right here. I got another army brother right there too. That there's so much things that we're suffering right now. Things that have been happening or things that a loved one they lost or whatever it is. War takes that all away from us. It really, really damages us. And even if you guys have been watching the news in the past few months, even in the Navy. This is the USS Fitzgerald, one of my sister's ships when I was out in Japan. USS Fitzgerald got hit by a big cargo ship. We lost seven service members that day. They were all, you can't see it, but most of the damage happened below where the water line is. And people had about less than 1 minute to escape from their sleeping beds. And the rest, those seven, died. So 2017 has been extremely painful. So we even lost this one. This is another ship, USS John McCain. Also another sister ship of mine out in Japan. I didn't know anybody personally on there, but we lost 10 service members on there. So the struggle's real. All these trying to keep peace and things happening, even in the Navy, we're losing brothers and sisters all the time for the sake of war, peace, whatever label that the higher-ups are giving it. The in-between, the us, we're suffering. And so we had many dedications to those who have served in the Navy, which really hits me close to home. I've lost many brothers and sisters in between. But the rumors of wars, the things happening around me, all those times I sat there thinking, what's going to happen to me if I have to push this button or not, or if something's going to hit me before I push this button, it takes me back to Revelation. Revelation 12, 7, 11. Something that makes everything, it puts it all together in perspective, right? So now, let me get there real quick. Get through the Spanish. Apocalipsis, right?
Did I say that right? Apocalypsis? Oh, wait. This is the wrong church. Apocalypsis 12. Oh, my. Who said that? Oh, man. He's good. 7:11. All right. So we start off at 7. So there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Real quick, so the Greek word for war used in here, anybody familiar with the Greek translation? I'm not so familiar with it either. But the Greek translation is, as it says, is more of a debate happened in heaven. Which brings me back to Ephesians. We're at war, not with flesh and blood, we're at war with principalities and nations and all kinds of people in high places and principalities and whatnot, right? So it makes me think of that. And so the same people that have caused war in heaven are the same people causing war in today's time and all the other wars that have happened before us. And so, verse 8, and prevailed not, so they didn't win. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Key word, deceiveth the whole world. There's too many things happening in media, social media, whatever you want to call it, in all these wars and things. Who's the one getting deceived most of this time? It's us, you and me, the common people. The people in the high places are starting so many things around us, and we're the ones that are affected in between. We're the ones that lose. We're the ones that hurt. We're the ones that lose brothers and sisters. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And here's the part that brought me so much peace. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their own lives unto death. That same way they fought us with their words, we will prevail with our words, the power of our own testimony. The testimony of who? Of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, in the end, this is, it's been a privilege, it's been an honor to be able to share my experience in the Navy, in the military, with all my brothers and sisters here right now. It's been a privilege to share that. I believe the Lord put me there so I can experience all these things in the Navy, to see how wars are actually fought. If I had not been in my position and all those things that I've experienced, I would not have thought of these things. I would not have been able to witness and see how wars are actually started or happening. You guys see them on CNN, you guys see them on the news, but praise God that he gives us peace through the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much that we're here today, that you gave us your word, that you gave us these promises to give us peace. There's so much suffering and so much rumors of war, so much things that are causing us pain and grief to everywhere. But Father God, you are so good to us. You came and died for our sins. And there will be peace in the future, your peace, that will bring us so much joy and happiness in the end. We thank you for all these things you have done. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.